by the Lord in my body. Amen. He said, if we live, we live unto the Lord. And if we die, we die unto the Lord. And the scripture teaches, except a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it falls to the ground and dies, it brings forth much fruit. Can you say amen? Today we live in a hedonistic, narcissistic society. Those are not terms given by some fundamentalist preacher. Those are terms that are given by sociologists that are gauging the culture that we live in. Not only in America, but it's beginning to sweep all the way around the world. Hedonism, simply put, is the philosophy of life that the pleasure is the chief end of life. We begin to coin that back in the early 60s. If it feels good, do it. We develop something in our culture called situation ethics. There is no black and white. There's no right or wrong. Just in certain situations, everything is permissible. Hedonistic pleasure. In fact, there are cruises. One of them is called it was called a hedonism cruise. And it was inviting singles and married swingers on this cruise ship to have indulge themselves with food and drink and promiscuous sex. I wouldn't want to be on that boat. One of those big boats that seemed so secure just ran aground near Italy. And it wasn't that kind of boat. It could have been you or me on that boat. But there's something in our society about hedonism. And you can find it all the way back in a philosophy of life in the Old Covenant. It said, eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. In other words, there's nowhere, there's no God to account to. We're not going anywhere. We don't have to stand before a holy God and answer to Him. So live it up today, because when you're dead, it's all over. The Bible teaches when you're dead, it just begins. Eternity begins somewhere. When we die here, we go somewhere and we live there forever. We hear only around Easter, we hear something about the resurrection of the just through the resurrection of Christ. But the just are not the only people going to be resurrected in the scripture. There's a resurrection of the unjust. Every person on this planet that has ever lived is going to come back to life. Every person on this planet is going to have a body which cannot be destroyed, according to the scripture. It's not just, it won't be glorified like ours, but it's going to be an eternal body that cannot be destroyed. Amen. According to the scripture in Revelation chapter 20, which you'll never hear on a lot of the ministries because they don't want to upset anybody, because the chief end is to get more partners and more money. They're not interested in making disciples unto Jesus, because they will not mention suffering in our body for the sake of the gospel, that He might be magnified. I want to tell you something. If I had stayed with Tampa Electric, I had more time than Terry. I would have had, I went to work for Tico at 21 years old. I worked with them for 5 years and went into full-time ministry. I came to the Holy Church of God. Gave up an acre in Dover. Oh, big sacrifice. But it was the only thing I had. And I gave it up. We had a 10-wide trailer paid for it, an acre in Dover. Amen. I came and sold all that just to fix our teeth. Because we didn't have dental insurance. Just to keep them from falling out. Sometimes they'll fall out anyway, and then all that money is gone. But anyhow, amen. As the time goes on, things begin to happen. We moved in a little old parsonage that they condemned behind the church at the Holy Church of God at 21 years old. If I'd have stayed with them, I'm now turning 65 this coming Friday. If I'd stayed with them, you can do the math. That's a lot of years with Tico. I saw a guy I started with. His name was Ground Rod Bridgman. I don't know his first name, but he was so tall and slender, we just called him Ground Rod. Amen. One of those ground rods, 6-foot ground rods that we put down in the ground. Ground Rod Bridgman. We started at the same time. He's making about $25 an hour. You know what he does? He's got this neat looking truck. It looks like it's brand spanking new, Terry. And he's got this little Tico cap on. And he's in an air conditioned truck. And he's got a stack of cut ins and cut outs. And I don't mean climb no pole. And I don't mean get up there near all of that stuff that can hurt you and kill you and sweat till it pours out of your gauntlet that you're wearing. Amen. You know what he does? He comes over to your meter when you do not pay your bill. And he just does a little doodad with your meter. He unseals it, flips it over backwards or whatever he does, and you have no power till you pay your bill. Oh, and when you pay your bill, he'll turn around and come back to your house, flip that meter around, and that's what he does 5 days a week. And I look and I say, that could be me right there. That could be me. I could have full retirement from Tampa Electric with how many years? 21, 31, 41, 51, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 44 years with TECO, making $25 an hour. Riding around a little truck. Boy, me and Pam, I could see us now. We wouldn't need one of those dogs, you know, that you put with a head wagon. Our dog will do that. Hallelujah. Amen. I could see him sitting in a Winnebago and us just driving to the Grand Canyon, driving over to the beach, driving up to the mountains, just going and doing and having fun and being carefree. Amen. No, I quit Tampa Electric to come to Tampa, to Suffering Springs. Can you say, man, it used to be Sulphur Springs, but it's all changed. And to be in that community for 25 years, when I talked to a social worker about my son's school problems because he had this mental thing, you know, and they didn't know it from, they never read the records they sent forward with him. So they expected him to do what everybody else did, and he couldn't because he didn't have the aptitude to do it, and it wasn't his fault. Amen. But we couldn't. We had to communicate every year. Anyway, a social worker, we got with a social worker, and she said, where do you minister, sir? I said, in Sulphur Springs. And she was not only a social worker, she wore two hats. She was also dealt with people that were on parole. She was their probation officer as well. She wore two hats, social worker, probation officer, / probation officer. She said, do you know there are people driving around your community with 9mm and shotguns under their seats? I said, yes, ma'am, I'm fully aware of that. Can you say amen? But that's where God sent me. That's where he sent your preacher. I've read all these books on how to grow a church and how to, and I just wish anybody that wrote one of those books would come to Sulphur Springs. Amen. Take every principle they got in that book and put it into practice. You know Calvary Temple before it became Center Point or whatever it is. Amen. You know where they started? Right down the street from us, Sulphur Springs. You know, they didn't grow until they got out of there. When they got out of there, they grew a mighty church. Hey, there's a church, used to be one of the biggest in this area, called University Church of God, before the other mega churches came around, way before the mega churches. You know where they were? Right down the street from us in Sulphur Springs is where they started. Amen. That's where Bird Street, just down the street from us. But they got out of that community to build that church. But our assignment wasn't to get out and build a big church. It was to stay in it and keep the door open and let there be a witness to that community that God loves them and he would not abandon them. And whosoever will was invited Sunday after Sunday, let him come and drink of the river of life freely. And it was my great privilege to win two personally to the Lord in that community. They never walked in the church, but I led them both to Christ before they died. Can you say amen? And if nobody, and there's several people that came to the Lord because we went to that little outpost, praise God. Amen? Hallelujah. And when I get to heaven, I know these two guys are going to be there because they got saved before they died. They couldn't come to church, but they got saved. And I've told you the story before, but I'm just rejoicing in it today. For me to live is Jesus Christ. It's not to be honored for building some big edifice out of stone and steeple. And don't get me wrong, it would thrill me to buy that building behind us that's just sitting there going downhill, that big thingy right behind us. But we'd look pretty funny in there. We couldn't pay the air conditioning bill. Can you say amen? We need to grow that way as we grow with people coming to Jesus. But if nothing ever happened in my life but leading those people to the Lord, it was worth quitting Tampa Electric. It was worth giving up my retirement and that cushion that I would have had right now. Hallelujah. Because the Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise. Did I suffer some things? Am I suffering some things? Yes, I am. And it's not over yet. I expect to suffer some more things. But Paul said, the things that I once counted gain. Listen, if you're going to make a true commitment to Jesus, your values are going to have to radically change. The things I once thought were so important, the things I once counted as gain, I now count them as but dung, that I may know Jesus. Now I see translations dressing that word up. Don't dress it up. It is what it is. Somebody say it is what it is. Come on, dung is dung. He meant what he said. Refuse. Someone said refuse. No, refuse is trash. You don't take out the dung. You take out the trash. You wipe the dung off your feet. Amen. Before you come in the house, if you step in it. Amen. Come on. The Bible is real. Come on. Let's don't try to dress it up. We've dressed it all up. Paul said, don't dress it up. It is what it is. This world is going to pass away and everything in it. Everything that man thinks is so important, even more important than his eternal soul. He said, the things I once counted gain to me, I count them as but dung that I might know Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't bless me by giving something material to me that's more vital to me and more joyous to me than Jesus and his kingdom. And you can't take anything from me, amen, because this kingdom is within me. Hallelujah. And it motivated an old camp meeting song, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Right now we're trying to blend a gospel of greed with the gospel of Christ. And it's like oil and water. It won't mix. The sacred and the secular will not mix. And listen to what Jesus said. Here's a rule of thumb. Is it all right to quote Jesus here today? In some circles, it doesn't seem to be all right. But here's what Jesus had to say. He said, the things that are highly esteemed among men, whatever fallen man in a fallen world, influenced by the enemy, blinded by Satan, whatever they put the premium on, the things that are highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. Can you say amen? They that are of the flesh do what? Mind the things of the flesh. But they that are of the Spirit do what? They mind the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded, money, gold, fortune, fame is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let this mind, not their mind, not their book, not their value system. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who thought it not robbery to be called equal with God. Though he thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, he made of himself no reputation, but humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name. Not because he made a name for himself. Not because he went out to get fame for himself. But because he humbled himself, took on flesh, and took our place at the cross. God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name that is named, of things in heaven, of things in the earth, and things beneath the earth, that at the sound of his name every knee might bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. Can you say amen? How did he get that place with God? Because he humbled himself and became obedient even unto the death. If you don't die to self, you can't live for Christ. Period. If you don't die to self, you can't live for Christ. If you don't die to self, you can't live for Christ. Well, what am I going to have to give up? Whatever keeps you from living for Jesus. Because it ain't making you happy, honey. I said it last week and I was afraid to look at faces. I'm talking to anyone and everyone in the church or out of the church, in the kingdom or out of it. If you don't sell out to Jesus, you're not happy. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? Told the woman at the well, woman, if you drink of that water, you're going to thirst again. As sure as you drink, you're going to be back to this well again and again and again. Amen. But if you knew who it was that asked you to draw water for him, you'd ask of me, I'd give you living water. You would never thirst again. Amen. He said, my body, here's the spiritual participation in fellowship with Jesus, amen, in the kingdom of God. My body is meat indeed. Amen. Come on. My body. Oh, come on. This is my body is meat indeed. And my blood is drink indeed. Amen. He that eateth of my body and drinks of my blood. What do we do on Communion Sunday? Amen. We take the type of eating his body. We are participating in his death, his suffering for us on the cross. We do what? We drink a little jigger of grape juice because we are literally symbolizing that we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are participants in the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? The blood has been applied. And when he sees the blood, he's going to pass over us. Can you say amen? We eat of his body. We drink his blood. Can you say, man, spiritually speaking? He said, if you don't do that, you don't have any part with me. They being carnal didn't get it. They turned and went back. He turned to his 12 and said, will you forsake me too? And they said, Lord, where can we go? You are the only one that have the words of eternal life. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Now, there's a lot of alternate ways to heaven, alternate means of salvation. No, it's only through the blood of Jesus. It's only through the broken body of Jesus that we can have eternal life. Hallelujah. We participate. That's why Paul said, I'm dead, but yet I'm alive. And yet it's no more I that live. It's Christ that liveth in me. There's a death that brings life. And that's what baptism. What is water baptism all about? Some little... No, it's symbolic. We are what? Buried with him. If you're going to be buried with him, you got to die to self. Can you say, man, you got to die to self? You can't be buried with him just in symbolism. The symbolism is in the water baptism. But the real spiritual stuff is when we say, Lord, I offer my body. A living sacrifice. What do they do with sacrifices, Sean? What do they do with sacrifices in the temple? What do they do with sacrifices? They kill it. Well, what part of you? Your flesh. My body. Can you say, man, that part of you that still yearns to indulge itself? You got to. The perspective has to change. I beseech you. When he's telling them how to overcome the world and the flesh, I beseech you as pilgrims and strangers. I want you to see yourself as just passing through. I want you to understand you're citizens of heaven. You're passing through this world. Travel light. Don't put your roots very deep. Don't follow the culture, the hedonistic view that if I can just find enough money, get enough things to give my flesh pleasure, I'll be happy. Baloney! They're not happy. Don't kid yourself. The woman at the well wasn't happy. She was sexually uninhibited, but she wasn't happy. That's why when he told her about this water, she said, boy, that's what I've been looking for. I can't find it through sexual promiscuous, no matter how many partners I have. Can you say, man, she'd had five husbands living with a man. Amen. Give up on marriage and true love and a real relationship. I'm glad there's sex in marriage, but I'm glad there's more than sex in marriage. How many's been married long enough to know that the honeymoon part doesn't last throughout the years? Wave at me if you understand that principle. I mean, I'm not saying, you know what I'm not saying. I always look at Sean because I got to keep him under control. Every time we talk about red-blooded American boy, I look at Sean. I say, he's a flaming heterosexual. Can you say amen? He's not a homo sapien. We're all homo sapiens. Listen carefully. When you come to Jesus, there's a honeymoon period where you want to go full out for God. And then there's a kind of getting used to the fact that you're loved like you're loved, that he did what he did. And you can hear the message of the cross and not feel that softness in the heart, that openness, that desire. I remember when I first became a Christian, I just wanted more of him. When I was in every prayer line, everywhere. If I wasn't sick, if I wasn't in any particular need, I just got in it anyway. and I'm waiting in line. Somebody behind me had a tumor. Amen. But I'm just in here with nothing wrong with me. Can you say amen? I'm in front of them. I'm walking forward. You know why? When I got up front, you know what my standing prayer was? Because, boy, I'm hungry. Lord, I want more of you. More of you. And they'd lay hands on me and say, what do you want? What do you need? Because the Lord couldn't give them a word of knowledge because they didn't know what I needed. I didn't even know what I really needed, but I knew I was hungry for more of him. Can you say, man, I'd get up, and time I got up to that line, I never missed a line. I was in it, praise God. Amen. And I walked right up, and they'd say, what is it that you want the Lord to do, young man? I said, I want more of Jesus. I want more of Jesus. They'd say, oh, Lord, help this man have more. They couldn't inject more of Jesus into me. Can you say, man? But I wanted more of Jesus. But God saw my heart. He saw that I was hungry for more of him. Because nothing had ever satisfied my soul like he did. This living water was something else. Can you say, man? Oh, the greatest buffer against sin is not just saying no. It's being so filled with him, with the kingdom joy and kingdom peace. Hallelujah. Amen. That you're not looking through sin to satisfy those longings. Those longings are being satisfied with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father God and the kingdom of peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If you don't have kingdom peace, it don't matter what else you have. You're poor. Jesus told the richest church in town that everybody envies today. You're poor if you don't have Christ as the centerpiece. You're miserable. You're blind and you're naked. Come on. In an Armani, but you're naked. Amen? Wow. If this man, stand up. This guy's. Man, if God's going to call him to preach. If he hadn't already, he's got on a preacher suit, lawyer suit, doctor. He's got on a beautiful suit today. His wife matches him. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, I'm so glad they come to our church. I'm so honored. Praise God. Listen, if that man didn't have Jesus in his heart, and he drove up in an Escalade, and she drove up in her Mercedes, and she had a 2-carat diamond ring, and he had a $25,000 diamond and gold encrusted Rolex. Oh, they go up to $50,000. Can you say, man? You know what the Bible said? If they don't have the kingdom of God within, and if they don't have peace with God in their life, they're poor, miserable, blind, and naked. And the Bible said if the blind lead the blind, and we got a lot of blind preachers today that they can't tell me they've seen the kingdom of God because all they can see is the kingdoms of this world. They know nothing of suffering and have vowed to never suffer in the flesh. They can't magnify Christ in their body. They can only mimic the world in their body. Can you say amen? But Paul said, I bear the marks of an apostle, and it's not an airplane or a Mercedes. It's the beatings and the whippings and still raising his name and talking amen to others about him and preaching the cross with victory in my heart. Hallelujah. You follow Jesus to indulge yourself, you're in for a rude awakening. The foxes have holes. The birds have nests. That's what he told a man. He said, I want to follow you. What are they telling them today? Follow Jesus and become rich. Follow Jesus and become famous. Follow Jesus and become powerful. Jesus said, follow me and die to self so that you can live unto God. I will follow you. Jesus said, really? Really? For real? For rizzle? You're going to follow me? Prerequisite. Foxes have holes. Birds have nests. Son of man, that don't mean you have to take a vow of poverty. what it means. You have to be content with such as you have and quit envying the world and trying to be like them to find something that you're supposed to have in Jesus. Oh, a friend of mine, God wants to take his church, set it in contrast to the world because our values don't match theirs. We seek fulfillment in Jesus, not in the things of this world. Amen. We have things that we need. God knows what you have need of. But he said, forget all of that. Don't even give it a second thought. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's not self-fulfillment, but it's fulfilling in your spirit. Oh, listen, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not for the body. It's not for self-indulgence. Amen? But it's righteousness. But what does it mean to you today to know that he suffered in your place and you could be made right with God through what he did for you at the cross? I don't know what it means to you. It's supposed to mean everything. It's supposed to mean everything. It's supposed to motivate you to present your body. Paul said, I will glorify him in my spirit and in my body. I will magnify him in my body. How'd he do that? Would you like to know how he did it? I wore an Armani. Tailored. I wore a Rolex. I drove up in a Rolls Royce. I lived in a $6 million mansion. There's a man living in a mansion that costs millions. His name is Benny Hinn. You know what he said about that mansion without his wife and his children? You know what he said about that mansion? He said, it's a big old house, and I go sit in the corner, and I'm alone. And he said, it's my fault. This is his own personal witness and testimony. Because I was too busy traversing the world to spend time with my wife and my family. And God never asks you if you have a family. If you're loose from a wife, don't get another one if you're called to preach. If you've got the gift of singleness, don't even think about getting married. Can you say amen? But if you are married, he said, you got to love that woman. Can you say amen? Ministry doesn't keep you from loving that woman. And ministry doesn't keep you from loving your children. And if it does, it's out of balance according to the scripture. Amen. Listen to me. You don't do that in the name of spirituality. Amen. My wife is important. I'm going to spend time with her. I'm not going to let church become a wedge between me and her until I get so empty of any kind of relationship with a woman that I am subject to temptation. I guarantee you the preachers that got caught in the no-tell motel, it began in their own bedroom, their own living room, where the relationship broke down. And they thought they were so spiritual it wouldn't matter, but it does matter because you're human. Look at somebody and say, I'm sorry, but you're human. I hate to break it to you, but you're human. And Brother Taylor said, don't look, there might be hair, there might be snow on the rooftop. What's the rest of that? I'm afraid to quote it. I'm afraid I'll get it wrong. Fire in the furnace. I knew my man would get it. That's old school. We know all about that. Hallelujah. We're human. We're human. I beseech you, as pilgrims and strangers. Yeah, you don't belong here. You're just here to be a witness for him. You're just passing through. Hey, man, pilgrims and strangers are passing through. Come on, we're sojourners. I beseech you, as pilgrims and strangers, you got to see yourself like that. Abstain from fleshly lust that what? War against your soul. Can you say amen? Amen. This is where the trouble is. We're afraid to die to self, afraid we're going to be empty. No, you're just going to make room for more of him. And if you get more of him, believe me, you're not going to be empty. And you won't be trying to fill that vacancy with the things of the world. I'm not talking about a nice house. Amen. I tell you right now, I live in a 1,250 square feet house. It's not very big. The closets are small. We got three sheds, one for my junk and two for her junk. It's not even junk. Yeah. Oh, God's tilling, got shoes. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't be pointing. You get in trouble, getting fingers all broke, come in here with a splint on. We had to pray for you. Can you say amen? Listen to me. Listen. You know why we pack rat and hoard? We pack rat not because we're materialistic, because we were so poor. I mean, we were po-po. We didn't have an outhouse on our honeymoon. The outhouse was behind the trailer. We didn't even have, there was an outhouse. Pardon me, we had an outhouse. That's right, because Pamela was looking for a bathroom because I borrowed a little mobile camper type thing from my uncle. Old-fashioned, old-time thing. Amen. And on our honeymoon night, Pamela kept looking in every door. She looked in little doors that you couldn't get a hamster in. I mean, she was needing to go and didn't know where to go. Amen. And it's our honeymoon night. She looking around for the bathroom. Amen. She didn't understand. The bathroom's out back in the dark, about 30 yards back that away. Amen. I had to break the news. If you're looking for what I think you're looking for, there's not one in here. And then her eyes got bigger than they already are. Can you say amen? Banjo eyes. Amen. She rolled them eyes. I said, come on, it's out here. I'll show you where it is. It's out there in the dark. Amen. Spiders and cockroaches and snakes and whatever else decides to go around that area. I'm telling you. But she loved me. I'll tell you one thing. That's why I want to bless her now. If I could, I'd give her anything that I could possibly give her. Hallelujah. But she's content with me. She's content to live with me because she loved me. And we were talking the other day. She said, remember back when all we needed, listen to this, all we needed was to be together. Remember the sweetheart love? Nothing else mattered. No, we didn't get to go anywhere special. You know, when two people really fall in love, it don't matter. A friend of mine, I got so tickled at him. He is a Baptist guy. I led him to the Lord. Not that all Baptists need leading to the Lord. There's people that need the Lord in every denomination. Can you say amen? But he had baptized in water, member in the church, in church every Sunday. And when he got to work, he didn't know him from anybody else. And he had no witness, no testimony. But I got saved. When I got saved, it was a witness to everybody. Can you say? I didn't have to say a word when they saw me not doing what I used to do and doing what I started doing. It just, at one night he came out and saw me, and I went over to his house and he began to weep before the Lord, and I led him to Christ. Amen. Larry Messenger, I remember when he got married. Oh, he got married. I said, where are you going? Because he made the same thing we did at this warehouse. And I knew he didn't have much money. Couldn't go to Hawaii. Couldn't go to, you know, the Bahamas. Couldn't go to Las Vegas. Couldn't go wherever people go. Amen. So I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Silver Springs. Go up to Ocala. See fish through the glass bottom boat. Can you say amen? Six Gun Territory was up there then. This, you know, mock-up of the old West. Going up to Ocala. Amen. Going to spend our honeymoon. Got an extra day. I'm going to take Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Oh, I couldn't wait till Monday to ask him what kind of time. You know, up there in Ocala they had. Amen. And I said, well, what'd y'all do when you got up in Ocala? I'm talking about the other stuff, you know. And he said, he looked kind of sheepish. He looked down. He says, we didn't go to Ocala. I said, you didn't go to Ocala? I thought that's where you were going for your honeymoon. He said, no, we got to Brooksville and saw a motel. None of you remember that. None of you remember when just being together. Amen. What'd you say? Oh, she ain't going to say what she said. She turned red. I didn't know she could do that, but she did it just then. Listen. They just wanted to be together. They just wanted to be with each other. Not just the sexuality, but the person-to-person communion. They wanted to be together. Being together anywhere was a honeymoon for them because they were truly in love. I don't know who's trying to keep up with the Kardashians, but when somebody gets married, how long did the marriage last? 70-something days, a record for some of those people. I read of a marriage that lasted a few hours the other day. I mean, they got sick of each other within a few hours. You got to have something more going on. But when it's really going on, everybody say really going on. When it's real love, just being with the person you love anywhere is a joy. Hallelujah. having food and raiment, if Jesus is where he's supposed to be in your life, and the first love is burning, therewith be content. Can you say amen? For godliness with what? This ingredient that is so satisfying and such a witness to the world. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Everybody say the true riches. The true riches is knowing what you have in Christ, having a real relationship with him, and being satisfied fully with that relationship you have with him. And Paul said, when that happens, if I die, I die unto the Lord. If I live, I live unto the Lord. Amen. Whether I live or I die, I am the Lord's. And that's why he was content when they were going to take his head off. You know what he said? It's like somebody going on a vacation that they've longed to go on their whole life and saved up for. When they got ready to take his life, he said, I am ready to be offered up. The time of my departure, not my demise, but my departure is at hand. I'm ready to be offered up. Poured out to the last drop. The drink offering poured out to the last drop. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. There's a crown laid up for me. And not me only, but all those that love his appearing. Can you say amen? All those that just can't wait to see Jesus. We used to sing, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth, what happens? They grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Why are people dying all over the world for this man, this salvation, this kingdom? Why would they put their life on the line and give it freely? Why would they do that? The same reason that I would lay my life down for that little lady that I've been married to for 48 years, going on 49. Why would you do that, Brother Venable? Why would you give your life for her? Because I love her. It's very simple. It's very simple. It's very simple. I'd lay my life down in a minute. I wouldn't have to weigh it out. I wouldn't have to evaluate it and say, well, what's it going to cost me? It's going to cost me everything. You know, Christians are kind of like the rooster. I know roosters don't lay eggs, but bear with me. All right, it was a hen. There's a hen and a pig. And they're Christians, both of them. There's a hen and a pig. And they're walking down the road, this Christian hen, been baptized at the First Church of the Cackle now. Can you say amen? And there's this pig. And they're walking down the road. You got to visualize this. And they look over and they see a family with no food. They got 8 children. They don't have nothing for breakfast. Ah, the hen is so compassionate. Looks over at the pig and says, you know, the Lord would have us meet that need. We can do it. Great compassion in the hen. Oh, Lord, I'm going to provide the eggs, she said to the pig. You provide the bacon. Amen. What's it going to cost? That's what the pig said. Just what you're saying. You're just going to grunt a little bit. Lay those eggs. But for me, it's going to take an absolute commitment. He's going to have to lay down his life to make the bacon for him. A lot of people want to provide the eggs. Nobody wants to provide the bacon. But God has called us to deny ourselves, not indulge ourselves, to magnify him in our body. How did Paul magnify him in his body? I'm glad you asked. Would you listen for a moment? Did he drive up in a chariot of gold with 6 white horses pulling it and say, this is how you magnify and glorify Christ? No. How did he do it? Through suffering the persecutions he went through and praising God and serving him with everything that he had. He said, if any man glory, I should have the more reason. I'm a Jew of the Jews. I'm circumcised the eighth day according to the law. Speaking of the law, I am blameless. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. But the things I once counted gain, I count them as but dung that I might know Jesus Christ. I put it all on the line. What I know and what I'm headed for is more glorious than anything this world can give me. I honor the Lord with my body. I magnify him, the scripture said, with my body. Can you say, man, Christ shall be magnified in my body? You know what he said? Here's what he said. He said, I was beaten 5 times, given 39 stripes, save one. 40 stripes, save one. 39 stripes on 5 separate occasions. After the first one, if you went over 40 by Jewish law, you couldn't, because most people died when you passed 40. They went into shock and died. Blood loss, they died. So 39 was the limit, and that's called beating you within an inch of your life. After the first time, Paul said, it happened on 4 more occasions. Was Christ being magnified in his body while that was going on? Absolutely. He had to be. If you can love Jesus after, anybody can love Jesus for a Mercedes. Anybody can love Jesus for a Rolex. Anybody can love Jesus for $1 million salary. But you love Jesus after beating like that, you're magnifying the Lord. You're saying he's more important than what this world says is important. Come on, the Christian church in America don't want to suffer persecution or anything else for his name's sake. We want to take oil and water and blend it with the culture. We want to be hedonistic as they are and live for our selfish pleasure. And the Lord warned us. He said, beware lest your heart be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, that they catch you just like it's going to catch them. Can you say, man? That's what Jesus said. Everybody say, Jesus said. Hey, if you come here, you're not going to hear what your favorite preacher says. You're going to hear what Jesus said. Come on, Jesus is supposed to take precedence. I don't care what's been drilled into you. I don't care who you watch on television. Listen to me. Jesus ought to have the final word in the heart of a true follower of him. Hallelujah. And if you're not here to follow Jesus, you picked the wrong church. You're listening to the wrong preacher, because he sent me to make disciples unto him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My God is worth your commitment. My God is worth that. If I didn't consider him worth it, I'd have never quit Tampa Electric. Come to a rundown old parsonage. Took it in the neck after I got there. Had the pressure. I would never do it. But right now, I would do it all over again, because I love my master. And there are people going to be in heaven because we did it. And their soul is worth the sacrifice. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Their soul is worth the sacrifice. The gospel would have never got out of Jerusalem if people couldn't take a beating and go on and serve it. If they hadn't laid down their life, the gospel would never went to the world. And they're laying down their lives as we sit here in comfort and convenience today. I'm just asking you to not literally be killed as a martyr necessarily. I'm asking you to die to self enough that you can live for him. If they can die for him, the least we can do is live for him. But you can't live for him without offering your body as if it was dead. A living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Which is what? Your reasonable service. In light of what? What he's done for us at Calvary. You'll never find satisfaction if God has to do something to get you to serve him. You need to recognize what he's done, old hoss. Can you say, man, you're wanting pity when what you need is victory, and you'll never have victory as long as you're self-indulgent and complaining. Jesus died for you, hung on that cross for 6 hours, and he didn't have to do it. And he died for you and me, and we didn't deserve it. While we were yet sinners, he was doing that for us. He deserves something from me. He deserves something from you. He deserves your love, whether he answers your prayer the way you want it or not. This is not, if you do that, I'll love you. He's already done it. And if you're not serving him because of the cross, you're serving him for the wrong reason, and you need to get it right. He deserves your heart, your life, your everything. Not because of what he's going to give you, but because it's what he's already given you. The church in America is self-indulgent by and large. The largest movement here is materialistic. It's gold. It's gold. They even preach that Jesus came so that we could all be rich. No, he came so we could escape the pangs of hell. Can you say, man? He came to take us to heaven. He came to deliver us from the wrath to come. No man in hell would trade silver and gold for salvation. No man down there would trade. The rich man said, go and tell my brothers. They think what I did was the right way. What I gained was the right gain. Go and tell them. Send Lazarus to tell them. Send him to tell them. Don't come to this place. Don't follow my example. Is there any preacher out there on television got enough Holy Ghost backbone and heart of God to tell the sinner he's lost and he's headed for that place? They don't even believe there is a place like that. And if they do believe it, they won't even talk about it because it may offend somebody. Offend me, please. Tell me the truth, please. Stop me before I draw my last breath and my heart beats its last beat. Don't let me run headlong into hell while you fleece me for the offering. Have you not heard? It's appointed unto man once to die. And then the judgment. This deal making with God needs to stop. Lord, I'll serve you if you'll do this. I'll serve you if you'll answer that prayer. Otherwise, I'm just going back and serve Satan. No. No. You don't make those kind of deals. The deal is you serve him because he died for you to keep you from going to hell. He suffered for you. He gave himself for you on the cross. You don't make deals after that. You give yourself away. If you're not willing to give yourself away, you're Mr. In-Between. And I'm going to tell you, you're miserable. Jesus said the richest church in town without that commitment is poor, miserable, blind and naked. You don't have true righteousness. You have a form of godliness that denies the power to change you and to fill you. Our lives begin to model and mimic the rich and famous of this world, and they do not represent his kingdom. They haven't seen the kingdom. Because you've got to become as a little child to see the kingdom of God. That means you've got to humble yourself. Can you say amen? Amen? He said, anoint your eyes, those blind eyes that can't see the kingdom. A church that has no kingdom view. Anoint your eyes with eye salve so you can see. Right now, the blind are leading the blind. And right now, and amazingly, through the Pentecostal movement, it began in the biggest error in the 21st century is taking place in the Pentecostal movement. The great threat is not atheism. Come on, it's in the Pentecostal movement because we have traded gold and said, listen, you were not redeemed. Come on, you were not redeemed with silver or gold. Can you don't put your value on it? Can you say, man, you can't buy this thing? And riches can't satisfy you in and of themselves. You were not redeemed with silver or gold after the tradition of your fathers. You know, in other words, if someone needs ransoming, you got to give money to get them ransomed. Listen to this. I got to say this, and it's going to put me in a bad light again, and it's going to keep some seats empty again. But I'm going to tell you the truth. You're in church this morning. Amen. Come on. Amen. Before I ever heard the names of some of these people, I was preaching Jesus and walking with him. I got my information from the Bible, not somebody's magazine or tapes. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? There is no celebrity to me but Jesus. He's the only one that I bow to, the only one that I celebrate, the only one that I give my praise to. Let God be true in the church of Jesus this morning. Let every man be a liar, including me. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! They suppose that gain is godliness. From such, the Bible says, turn away. Because you know the blind are leading the blind. Don't join that parade. Shalabokosanda, a world church is forming. Amen. And you know who's going to go headlong into it? Those that have taken the gospel and turned and blended it. It really won't blend. It hasn't blended, but they're trying to make it look like it blends. The sacred with the secular. There are preachers on TV right now that the whole world speaks well of, including Oprah. She don't even know who Jesus is. But there are people the world applauds. Be careful of anybody. They don't applaud me. They can't applaud me. Larry King don't want to hear what I got to say. There was one pastor on there. He said, don't you think that it is prideful for Jesus to say, I am the way. I am the only way. Don't you think that was prideful of Jesus? And you know what he said? I loved his answer. He didn't answer like some of the crazy people that have had on their Christian leaders. He said, not if it's true. If he's the way, it's not prideful to say he's the way. If he isn't the way, he's a liar and we should never listen to him or follow him. But if he is the way, it's not prideful to say, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Can you say, man? That's not prideful. That's the truth. And it's the truth that men and women gave their life for, Sean. It's the truth that they gave everything for so the truth could be handed down to us. Closing with this, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. How many know that it's passing? All of that's going to pass and everything is going to pass. But with the precious blood, with the precious blood, with the precious blood. They suppose gain. They equate gain with godliness. They gauge their spirituality by the abundance of things because they have a worldview. Here's the way they read the scripture, and here's what refutes it. Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. I came to give you life, and that more abundantly. What is it about our life that makes it so fulfilling and rich? Because we're never going to die. Because we're looking for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Because we're going to live with him forever. Come on. Listen, you can't compare that to Bill Gates' billions. Because when Bill Gates takes his last breath, then billions don't mean anything. When I take my last breath, amen, Jesus is everything. Can you say, man? Glory to God. Don't compare it. This is a different kingdom with a different king. Amen. You know what Bill Gates said? When they asked him, what about your faith, your religion, what do you believe? He said, in the sheer allocation of time, I don't have time for religion. You ask Bobby Venable, who don't have billions, what do you think? What is your faith? I love Jesus with everything I am and everything I have. Christ is my life. Hallelujah. Take this whole world and give me Jesus. I will not turn back. Can you say amen?
Woo! Hallelujah.
But there's a movement in the Pentecostal movement that says it is silver and gold. Ransom is always paid. Even God charges. They're packaging and selling what Jesus bought and paid for at Calvary. You know how it would work today's culture, Pentecostal culture? Peter and John go up to the gate, beautiful, and there's a man, never had walked. He's begging. They'd say, how much you got in that cup of water? God really wants to heal you, but you got to give some money to our ministry, boy. Because if you ain't going to plant no seed in our ministry, God ain't doing nothing for you. Come on, that's what they're teaching. That's the twisting of the scripture. They're putting a price tag on what the blood and body of Jesus bought at the cross. Now you got to buy it. If you've been trying to buy it, your money perish with you. This ain't for sale at any price. It's precious beyond measure, beyond words. What did Peter and John say? What did they say in the Bible? We got to get off the television, away from the tapes, long enough to get back in the Bible. Silver and gold have I none. Oh Lord, how can they be the apostles of Jesus? Come on now. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. I didn't come to take something from you. I came to give something to you that Jesus purchased on the cross with his blood and his body. Don't patty cake for Jesus. Amen. I wouldn't want to be in the shoes of a preacher that tells you got to pay to have his prayer. Because you're trying to buy what only the blood can purchase. Can you say, man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That's what we're not seeing. Because this gospel is not being preached. This ain't for sale. But we're going to see it. Because God is going to stretch forth his hand to heal. And that signs and wonders be done. Where Jesus is exalted. And the kingdom of God is presented. Not the kingdoms of this world. You say, but there's tens of thousands following. It doesn't matter if the blind lead the blind. It don't matter how many follow. They're all headed for it. They're all in the ditch. They're in it. Jesus called them blind, poor, miserable, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. How do you get that kind of riches? Fiery trials come. But they're more precious than gold that perisheth. Because they bring us closer to our God and our King. That's a value system you will never hear. Paul said, I don't know. And you know, Paul could have used his miracles. He could have talked about the people he prayed for that God healed, his visions. He went up into third heaven. He could have wrote a book and put himself in high before men. You know what he did? He said, if I'm going to glory, here's the things I'll boast in. They beat me 5 times with 39 stripes. They beat me 3 times separately with rods. They stoned me. Left me for dead. Whether God raised him from the dead or he was so near death, they thought he was dead and left him. We don't know, but we know what happened next. He was found preaching in another city, not giving up the ministry, questioning God, magnifying the Lord in his body. The marks of an apostle was not a Mercedes in that day. Come on, it was the wounds he carried while still keeping victorious in his heart. Can you say, man, I bear the marks of an apostle. I've magnified him in my body. Can you say, man, shipwrecked 3 times. Amen. I was at a martyr's site where there were martyrs. And one of these crazy people following crazy people, blind following. You know what they remarked? underneath all these people that had laid down their life for the gospel so we could have it in a pure form? You know what they had the audacity to write underneath? These people who had laid down their life, celebrating these martyrs that laid down their life for Christ. You know what they wrote underneath? They should have trusted God. They should have used their faith. They could have avoided all that. Live like kings. Why would they want to suffer like that? They should have got Brother So-and-so's tapes on how to chart your own course and do your own thing and indulge your own self. Hedonistic. That pleasure is the chief end of life. Oh, there's pleasures in his right hand, but it ain't for your body. It's for your soul. The body's passing, the soul's forever. Narcissism in closing. You know the story of Narcissus, where we get the term narcissism? It's self-love. It marks all of the other sins of the last day. Men shall be lovers of their own self. Lovers of their own self. Narcissism. Narcissus, according to Greek mythology, was so handsome and so fair. One day he was getting himself a drink and he saw his reflection in the pool and lived his whole life pining away because he couldn't have himself. Does it occur to you when narcissism and hedonism marks a culture that we need to... Yeah, that makes me grimace. But it does tell you why man leaves the natural use of the man. When self-love... Come on, does that explain anything about a culture where that's taking place? Where I don't even look at a woman like I should anymore with the normal natural desires. I look at a man that way because self-love is now consuming a culture. And a woman doesn't look at a woman different. They look at a woman because self-love is consuming a culture. Do you get it today? Do you understand what's happening? And when a culture begins to crumble, you see a particular sin on the rise in the culture. Self-love consumes it. Sodom and Gomorrah was the richest cities there were around that area. And self-love had consumed it. Can you say, man? And what marked that culture? That it was unraveling. The family, the home, everything was, the fabric was unraveling. A band of men came to two men, angels manifest as men to not draw attention, who walked down into that city. And they said, we want to have these men. They were going to rape these men. Are you here? And suddenly Lot realized where he was living. And he says, oh no, these men are holy. And a father took his daughter by the hand, drug her outside and said, take my daughter and do what you will, but don't touch these holy men. And the angel said, no, you don't have to do it. See, God can defend himself. Thank you. Amen. I'll have all kinds of critics and persecution for what I preach, but God defends his own word. He'll defend himself. Spurgeon said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel, but God's going to take care of himself. Spurgeon said, I'd sooner defend a lion than defend God. Can you say, man, God's going to win this thing. His word is going to win this thing. His church is going to prevail, even in this culture. There are people being drawn out of a people. Can you say, man, hallelujah. Even in this culture, the true church is going to rise up because you've got to get off the fence now. You can't have Oprah and Jesus too. A little bit of pop psychology and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've got to get the oil and the water separated because it never would blend in the first place. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. And touch not the unclean thing. And I will be a father unto you. And you will be my sons and my daughters. Hallelujah. As it is written, I will walk in them. I will live in them. And I shall not be ashamed to be called your God. And you shall not be ashamed to be called my people. Hallelujah. You'll honor me when you magnify me in your body. Your body is the temple of the Lord. Keep it what? Holy. Hallelujah. magnify in your body. Praise the Lord. Give your life to Him. Let Him give you that water He promised that woman at the well. So you're not living in such thirst that you're willing to compromise and sin to try to fill it. Just like that fallen world that has never seen the kingdom of God and cannot enter into it till they humble down. I never thought I'd live to see this day. I thought Christ would have been back and we'd have been gone. I never thought I'd see this day. I saw it biblically. I knew what the church would look like in the end times. Most people are looking for signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and in the other nations. And Israel is the pivotal centerpiece of prophecy. But the signs in the church mark these days as the last days. For some shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils in the last day. Can you say amen? And we haven't seen anything yet because the world church is forming. And there is a portion of the Pentecostal movement that's going to run headlong into it because we've already got a worldview. And that's all it takes to join the world church. There are those that will not publicly confess that Jesus is the only way to God already in some of the largest Pentecostal movements in America. In America. In America. Amen. And printing a little retraction on a website won't cut it. You can't publicly deny Him and privately confess Him. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, but not in the sunlight. Can you say, man? Honey, if you deny Him before men, what did He say He would do? Deny you before the Father. You think He was serious about that? You think we ought to get serious about that? If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father and His angels. Well, I'm here to confess Him publicly. Can you say, man, He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by Him. And if it takes getting killed for making that statement, I'm ready to lay it down. Hallelujah. If it takes pastoring a little church. But I'm going to tell you, church don't have to be small to preach the truth. A day is coming. A day is coming. A day is coming when they're going to pull some old prophets out of dungeons. When the trouble gets hot enough, bad enough. When the economics drop low enough. And when people realize they're living and following a lie. They'll want something true to hold on to. And we'll be right here preaching it when it happens and others like us. Somebody stand up and give Him praise today. Hallelujah. Woo! Yeah, give us some smooth things on Sunday morning. Oh, Jesus. What are you going to do with Jesus? What's He have to do for you to get you to commit all the way to follow Him? Nothing. It's what He's done for you that should bring that commitment. Here's what I won't do. I won't pet you to get you to church after you've been a Christian all these years. If you're not coming, God send somebody that loves God here. I'm sorry, I love you. But I'm not going to pet you. Jesus deserves better out of us than that. Nobody ever had to pet me and get me in church. I was there, brother. Work till 7:30. Get home at 8:15. Go to church. Why? Because we're just getting cranked up by 8:15, my church. Amen? Started at 7:30, ended somewhere between 11:30 to 12. Holy Ghost services. Spirit of God move, have an altar service. Half the people go home, crank up again, God start moving again. Walk out in the front yard, lock the front door, 12 of us in the front yard, beside 574, across from the Strawberry Festival grounds. Spirit of God fell out there in the lawn. Pastor, pray for me. I got this thing coming up. He laid hands on me, slain in the spirit. Cars going by, getting ready to call 911. People falling on the grass out in front of the church. Hallelujah. It's going on 12 o'clock and nobody's ready to go home because God showed up. God actually came to church. Can you imagine a church that the choir couldn't sing good enough, the preacher couldn't preach good enough, that God had to show up to hold our attention? Wouldn't it be great if God just showed up again? That the sick got healed and the lost got saved and the empty got filled and people begin to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be great if God showed up some Sunday morning? Where two or more are gathered in my name, God's supposed to show up. There am I in the midst of them. What would happen if God just showed up? You mean we could see him? No, but you'll know he's here. And when he manifests himself, you'll know he's here. You'll know he's here because that backslider going front slide. Can you say, man, or run out that door, one or the other? Now you can't leave. Oh, Lord, I've done locked you in. Praise God. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, something's going to happen. You're going to laugh. You're going to cry. You're going to shout. You're going to pout. But something's going to happen. You just can't sit there and play the church game. Not if God shows up. You're going to sense that you're not answering to me. You're answering to him for your attitude toward his word, his house, his sacrifice, and his son. Can you say, man? Dig deep. Take my word to heart and dig deep. Lay your foundation on a rock. For surely the winds are coming. Surely the waves are coming. And everything that is not built upon the rock shall be swept away. But that is on the rock shall stand and not be moved, saith the Lord. The scripture is this as we close, and God calls you and me. He that hears my word and doeth it not, he's like a man that built his house on the sand. He just jumped in with no foundation, put up the walls and put on the roof. And he was doing real good till the storm came. The storm is persecution for his sake. And you want to watch some people bail out? Let persecution hit hard and hit home. And watch what happens when it costs you something instead of making you rich to serve Jesus. You want to see how some churches thin down, including this one? Amen. Amen. Just tell you that you need to put him before the things. Amen. You need to put him before the stuff. He needs to be before the stuff. It's not that he won't help you and give you what you need. He has to be before the stuff. Fact is, if he's first, he can trust you with stuff. Because he knows push come to shove, you can say, take the stuff, I count it as but dung. He's the one I'm after. Don't mean you can't drive a nice car, live in a nice home, but not anything that becomes between you and him. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. How many people in this room, Pastor Venable, I want in these closing hours, I want to get closer to Christ. I want the fulfillment that only he can give me. I'm hungry for the living God. Raise your hand in this place. How many people want to hear from him on Sunday? You don't want that pet message to get your tithe or your time or to make us look successful. You want a Holy Ghost revival. You want to see your children saved. You want to see your family come in. You want to see people healed and demons cast out. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Raise your hand. You want to see that. Then let's offer our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. That's our reasonable service. And let's worship him for what he's done. Here's the key as we close today. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you offer your body a living sacrifice. As this song gets ready to play, and you can leave if you need to while it's playing. Some of the soldiers in World War II and Vietnam said this. Some of the best soldiers that carried out missions were not men trying to make it back home. Because if you're thinking about your skin and staying alive when you've got to take a hill, you're going to be tentative. And sometimes if you don't attack the enemy, he's going to wipe you out while you're laying on your face in a crossfire. I got to tell you, the Spirit of God is here. I can give you the short version, but listen to me. It's revival or go with the flow. There's no in between for the church anymore. You can't be half warm. That's called lukewarm. You got to see the end. I used to read because two uncles of my wife were Vietnam veterans, and I read a lot of the nonfiction Vietnam books because that was my era. And I remember one man that led a group of men. He said they came upon this open area, and from the tree line in front of them, they let their point man pass because they didn't want to open fire until the bulk of the people were in this place where there was no cover. But from the tree line, directly in front of them, they opened up. They immediately killed their point man when he got to the tree line, and then they opened up on the rest of them, and they couldn't run back. They had to fall down, and they were pinned down, and they could hear the bullets whizzing over their head. And some of them were taking those hits while they were laying. And he said, if we lay here, they're going to flank us. They're going to go to one side and the other, catch us in a crossfire, and we're all going to be killed. There's only one course of action. Jump up. Do the thing that everything in you is telling you not to do. Everything in you is saying, squeeze that ground and pray. But you know you're going to die. You know what he did? He said he prayed and said the Lord spoke to him, said, if you're a leader, then get up and lead. Come on, if you're a leader, then get up and lead. Sometimes the leader has to get up and lead. It may sound like we're being hard. No, we're just getting up and leading. Can you say amen? Everything in their flesh said, kiss the ground. But he knew, we're going to die here. In just a few minutes, as soon as they work their way around both sides of us, they'll flank us. We're all dead with no cover. He said, men, we have one chance to defeat the enemy, and that is to charge. Follow me. And he jumped up and began to run forward, and he could hear them whistling all around him. Death is whistling all around him, and he's charging. And they did not expect a charge. They expect them to hug the earth. They didn't expect them to rise up and charge. But they rose up and put it on full automatic and charged the tree line and fired back at the muzzle fire. Amen. It took them by such shock and surprise that they were running at them, screaming and hollering and firing on full automatic and changing clips and running some more. They begin to break all of their patterns and all of their plans to take them, and they begin to run in retreat. They had one man injured and one man down, but the whole rest of them were saved that day because they got up and ran to the enemy instead of running from him and trying to stay safe. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you're going to lead, then get up and lead. Can you say amen? Don't just lay here and pray. Get up and lead. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I feel this thing this morning. I'm going to get up and lead you. I'm going to get up and lead anybody that will listen. Because I don't like to sit and watch people getting picked off by the devil. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, let your anointing come. Lord, let hearts be touched enough to give their self to you today in a deep commitment that says, I won't turn back, I won't look back, I won't go back. When there's only one way to go, and that's forward, the enemy's going to have to give place to us. We're going to see the breakthroughs and the victories that God has promised us in Jesus' name. But we need to make the commitment today. Let's give him praise. Let's let this song draw us.